All right, friends. Well, we'll just go ahead and get started. Oops, I should turn this on. Okay, great. I'm Mel, and I'm on mic. I'm Mel, and I'm the founder of Storymakers, and welcome to The Crypt. This is Fun Fact. We're Harry T. Burley, who's a super famous choir master, first African-American here in New York City. We used to host his choir, so you can check that out later. We will be throwing a lot of fun facts and references to you guys along the way. I'm going to start us off with a bit of prayer, and I also just, sorry, before we get started, I'm going to introduce my team. This is Brittany, and she's going to be talking to us about prayer, and this is Karen, and she's going to be talking to us about visual language. If you don't know anything about Storymakers, we like to be practical, and we're going to talk about, you know, some data and story about Gen Z and Alpha, so you have a great framework, but we want you to be able to put some things into practice so that you can walk away feeling like, okay, maybe I know something new and I can do something when I go home. So we will begin with prayer. The Lord be with you. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this gathering. Thank you for the gospel. And we just ask that you would send your Holy Spirit among us and that you would inspire us and remind us that your story is all we need to hold on to and to know that when we're not holding on, that you're holding on to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Gen Z is a super sexy topic right now, very hot. There's a new book out called Bad Therapy by Abigail Shriver. I don't know if you've heard of her, but if you look her up, there's all sorts of things. She's talking about, you know, what's going on with Gen Z and how to parent them. We also have, you know, Jonathan Haidt out with Anxious Generation. And it's really easy for us to get really flooded with all of the data and we can feel at a loss. And I think that this is probably true for any generation who's looking at the folks behind them. Like, how are we going to capture them? This is like the worst time ever. And so there's a lot of great data out there. We know that phones are bad and there's all sorts of things happening for Gen Z and Alpha. And we want to be walking alongside them and we want to guide them along the way. But we also have to remember that the stories are true for us in that God's story holds on to us the whole way through. So, you know, hold on to your hats. If you're afraid and you want to throw the phones out, that's something you can do later. But we want to remember that there's hope for Gen Z because there's hope in the story. Now, we love to talk about the imagination all the time. And one of the things that I want us to think about is that the future of Gen Z and Alpha have more to do with our own imaginations and how we trust the stories as grownups. Are we feeling rooted in those stories? Is that what's holding us tightly into these stories? And that is going to be the framework in which you're going to be able to minister and parent your kids along the way. Now, it's easy for us to kind of project onto these big groups of, you know, generations like Gen X, boomers, and we talk about people in a way that they're not personal. So I want you guys just to close your eyes for 2 seconds or three or four or five, and I want you to think of someone who was born between 1996 and 2007. And I want you to hold them in your minds because that's who I want you to think about as we move through this session. Because they're not just a generation, a swath of people. They're people that we know and that we're close to, and the people that we're close to are the people we're called to minister to and to love. Now, a couple weeks ago, I was in West Virginia, and I heard from Mattelli Perkins. That's another fun fact person, so if you don't know who she is, you should definitely check her out. She's an amazing children's author. And she reminded me that stories give us meaning and they help us make sense of the world. So as you're thinking about Gen Z and Alpha, you must remember that they're trying to make sense of the world. And the digital age is where they are, you know, looking for that meaning. They're scrolling for that meaning. So as, you know, you've got teens and you've got Alpha coming along and they're trying to figure it all out, remember that they are storied people. And they're trying to discover who they are. We've got some great teens here. Last year, Karen and I had a fun photo shoot here in the city. We ran around town. And we got to spend some time with kids that fell between Alpha and Gen Z. And they had the best time. We played, we ran around the city, we took photos. These are kids who are trying to self-discover. These are kids who want to be connected. And I think the same is true for kids across the nation and the world. And I think what's important as you consider who you're relating to is to go back and think about your own teen experience. This is Mal in 1994. I was a freshman self, having the best time of my life. Just living the dream, and there's Technotronic, Pump Up the Jam. So if you don't know who that is, you need to check that out too. But this is, you know, this was me shaping myself at that time. I didn't have technology in the same way that all of our kids have tech right now, but I was doing the same thing that everybody else was trying to do. Who am I? What stories do I want to keep? What stories do I want to let go of? And so we like to call this shedding, the shedding period in adolescence. They're trying to think about, like, what stories do I want to keep? What stories do I leave behind? Who am I? And so when they're on Snapchat and TikTok, they're trying to do that. The unfortunate thing about the digital space is that we don't always find meaning in those places. As we scroll and scroll and scroll, there might be pockets, but it may not be long-lasting. This is the shedding and adopting period. But there's so much to be found in hope and story, right? So our own stories we can think about and look back and see how God has moved in them and how God is holding on to us and walking us through. And so this is our job as grown-ups. We get to help them identify these places, and we get to help remember our own stories so that we can point them to where Jesus landed in our lives. You know, we like to say that the devil is in the details, and Jesus is also there too. And so when we want to look back, we want to find out, like, where was God in my story? Well, last year I was in Tucson, Arizona, and I got to go visit my hometown, and I ended up going to my elementary school with my kids, and I could see, oh, God was shaping me the whole time. And then I got to talk to my kids about that. God is shaping you right now. The contours of life are moving you, but God and the Holy Spirit are walking alongside you. Now, you may be wondering, how does this all work in a practical sense? And so I think as grown-ups, we have to remember that we embody those stories too, that we hold that faith so that we can believe on their behalf. So as we may become afraid and may become anxious ourselves and wonder, are these stories enough to sustain the next generation? We have to return to them for ourselves. And Roald Dahl has this amazing quote, and he talks about always growing down. And Jesus says that too. He says we need to have a faith like a child. We need to have an interdependence. So if we want our kids to be engaged, connected, and rooted in Jesus, we ourselves as grown-ups need to live in that space so that they can see that the peace that surpasses all understanding, or the return to the stories, is for us too. And then that's going to be something that they reference and connect to. That's going to be way more effective than us trying to project onto them or hope that they memorize scripture. This is really important for us in our own role as parents and for us to play alongside kids. Now, I'm going to turn our next section off to Karen, because what we're doing in Storymaker Land is trying to make it easy for grown-ups to be able to connect. I know that Gen Z and Alpha, like, we love teens over in this space, and maybe that's not true for everybody in this room. And we're thinking about them, and we're thinking about visual language and what really connects all the time. And Karen in particular is really in that space. And so we're creating new ways for you guys to imagine how you can engage through art, because it's an amazing tool that's accessible to all of us. And God being the creator that he is, when we engage in art, there are moments in which we feel deeply connected and rooted to his story. And it reminds us where we belong in that story. And so I'm going to pass over to Karen, and we have some little fun technical things happening. So stay tuned. Yeah.
It's like a Britney mic.
Yeah.
There you go.
See how it goes with Fiona. Thanks, Mel. I'm Karen Weber. I've been a part of Storymaker since the beginning. I've been involved in the branding and design. And I love kids, but I especially love older kids. So when we finally got around to brainstorming and dreaming about teen content, I was pumped. I think she might have to go. Mel and I had talked and brainstormed about things for a while, and we really came, when we started out making the teen content, it was really important to us to create what we wished we had as teens. And so that was a big inspiration and a big jumping off point for me. And I think it's just a great thing for us all to think about. It can be intimidating when we think of how do you reach the whole generation or how do you make a difference or a change, but really, at its simplest, just be what you wish you had for a teen, you know, and then you're already doing great. So I'm involved in the design of the teen zine, so I'm making the images and the layouts, and so I'm just going to chat a little bit about Visual Hope specifically. So our process starts with getting inspired. This is an example of the mood board for our Teen 3 zine, which just came out. So we start by digging into visual culture, and we're really trying to be curious about what is the world that teens are immersed in, what are they seeing, what are they inspired by. We're trying to tap into our own inspiration. So I'm looking across the internet at Pinterest, Instagram, TikTok, at articles, academic papers, and even celebrity news, just trying to soak up and jump into their world and know how to react from that world. And I'm asking myself, you know, what are they immersed in? I'm asking myself, what makes me curious? What upsets me? What fascinates me? And what brings me joy? And so from that inspired place, we pull together images. Mel sets the concept. And then I set images that I think we can use as a jumping off point for the digital collages that we make for the zine. So as I mentioned, we want to create from teens' visual culture. Teens are very image-based. They're looking to make associations. They want to see something that's cool to them, that feels like it speaks to them, and they want to attach themselves to it. That's why like brand names are so popular for teens. You know, we've all been there before. There's something like, you know, there's an icon, whether it's a celebrity or an athlete. Teens are so about like attaching themselves to whatever they think is cool. And I think this is important. And this is where we create from visually, because we really want to talk with them and not at them. And I know growing up in like the 90s and 2000s in my own youth group, there's so many well-meaning adults, but I think a lot of my youth group experience was a lot of teaching from a place of fear or trying to control outcomes and being kind of worried about like what we will do and what we'll choose. And so I was really hungry for someone that would just talk with me and sit with me that I could say anything to, anything that was on my mind. But I always felt there was a limitation. So visually, we want to speak their language by creating from the world that they're also seeing. And this will hopefully help them immediately identify with something in the zine and be a little curious, or at least want to open it up, flip through the pages. And it's just an important place to start. And when we're discussing creating from the teen's visual culture, what I'm not saying is that we need to be an exact copycat of culture, because we know that not everything in culture is beneficial for our teens. And, you know, teens have a pretty high BS meter, so if we're just, like, copycatting culture and trying to be fake cool, they're going to see right through it, and they're going to want to disassociate from us anyway. They value realness, and so it's really better just own your generation, own your perspective. You're the guide, you're the mentor, but you want to connect in a genuine way. And so I think that can give us relief. Like, we don't have to become their culture, but if we know it, they'll feel connected to us, and it opens doors. Now we get into the actual, when we create the images. So we use images as a key to the inner emotional world. images are an invitation to open up. We've all had a moment where we see a piece of art or a film or hear a song that just elicits this instant gut reaction or an emotional response. We've all had those moments, whether it's happiness or anger or sadness. Sometimes an image just sees us or become alive when we see it. And so we're striving to create images that that feel inspiring or feel confrontational or at least start to hint at somewhere we're going in the chapter. We explore abstract things and distortions. Collage is very popular, so we're doing a lot of collage with like stock imagery and images we've taken and then graphic elements. And that seems to be effective so far in our teen content. Yeah, so we experiment, we lean towards a conceptual, and it's in that place when you see an image that resonates or you see an image that sparks your imagination or inspires you, this is a point where you can really open up. And teens will, if they feel seen by something or they resonate with something they see, they're already in this posture where they're ready to go a little bit further. And so using these images to lead in our chapters, we then dig into the meat of the teaching, the concept, and you know, just like our Storymakers kids zines, our teen zines are packed full with social emotional processing pages. And so some of these are diagrams and charts where they can think through a conversation they want to have or a feeling they've had. Some are just like rating their sadness and what does that mean, processing experiences they've had, or just like kind of doodling and brainstorming a word or a topic. And so when they're opened up from having been seen or feeling seen by the content, then this part is where you come in and you really guide and you converse with them and you walk alongside of them as they process these complex and heavier things. So we're trying to open up their curiosity and create a fertile ground for real connection and personal breakthrough. And our teen zines are thick. They're kind of like a big journal. So it's a little bit choose your own adventure. You can call out a few activities to do together. They can do some on their own. They can take it home and process in their rooms. So we've really packed in a lot of stuff. So there's a variety of methods and approaches you could use. So finally, the point is anchoring their story in God's story. And so I want to read Psalm 62, 5 through 6. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. So the hope through this experience of our teen zine is that they would feel seen. It would be something they can associate with immediately. They're like interested in immediately. They want to jump in. And then there's the teaching and the social emotional processing experiences in each chapter that you know, they can dig in, they can connect with you, they can hopefully, from those conversations, bring up heavier things, doubts and questions, and really you're there to use your own experience and your wisdom to guide them through these heavier and complex things that they're experiencing, because the teen years are crazy. And ultimately, through that experience of, like, culture and reaction and processing and questioning and having the truth spoken into all the layers, we hope that they come out with this feeling that, you know, I am okay. These waves of emotions are normal, natural. They are to be engaged with. They're not to be suppressed with or to run from. They are something that God designed me with, and they're guide points and markers for my life. And, you know, in that context of your youth group or with your kids, whatever teens are in your world, you'll be there with them to walk through that. And yeah, we know that God has hope woven through all our experiences. And the goal from our trials, our highs and lows, is that we cling to him and we see his hope through every aspect of our lives. And so we do want to leave teens with this feeling of a hope and a future, because they're really daunting years. I'm glad I'm not a teen now. I don't know if I'd make it now. Like, it seems much harder out there. But we know there's hope, and we've all made it through our teen years, and we know there's hope and there's a story through everything. And so we hope that the visuals and the exercises we have in these zines can help you guys connect with your teens in that way. Thanks, Karen. Now I'll send it over to Britt.
Yeah. Part three. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, thank you. Awesome. So like Karen said, we want to leave them with hope in a future, and we do that through art, but we also want to connect our teens in other practical ways. Make sure I get this on too. Okay. In other practical ways like prayer. I love prayer. I love teens. I've been in youth ministry for like 8 years now. I've grown up in the church, and prayer is something that it doesn't just reorient our minds, but God in his ultimate design, we know it reorients our bodies, our emotions. I love that this whole conference so far, we've been hearing all these beautiful stories and testimonies that point back to God is a God that still speaks. And he speaks to our teens, right? There's no junior God. God is the same God for us as he is for the preschoolers, as he is for the middle schooler, as he is for the high school student. And so we can trust in that. So this is a quote from all the feels that Karen was showing you the imagery from, that here's the thing. God gave us feelings for a reason. Feelings are not meant to confuse us, though of course we get mixed up sometimes. Our feelings point us in the direction and guide our actions. The Holy Spirit can use our feelings to remind us of God's presence with us and God's promises to us. Taking a beat to pay attention to our feelings reorients us to what is true. So essentially we're saying, hey, prayer does this, and we want to show you how. So I love as well, here's some scripture of like God still speaking. I won't read all of them, but I'll read Romans 8. I love this scripture. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, helps us in all the feels. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Essentially saying, hey, even if your teens don't know what to pray, maybe the exact words or language, the Spirit is already working on their behalf. That we have a high priest, right? As Hebrews says, Jesus goes before us now as that high priest and prays for us. So prayer is such an important piece to our teens and how they find themselves in God's story. So I love that the early church was not adverse to prayer. Right? But before we can even lead our teens, I want you guys to stop and answer some of these questions of how do you view prayer? Right? I think sometimes we're like, well, we need to teach our teens this, but let's stop and actually take some stock of our own lives. How do you view prayer? Is it just an add-on when you remember? Is it something you only turn to when you're in these immense seasons of overwhelm or anxiety? Or is prayer the way that you yourself connect your whole body, mind, and spirit into the story of God? Jesus' life and ministry we see throughout the Gospels was marked by these rhythms of prayer and solitude and all the feels that he had too in human flesh. And I love that he really didn't ever have to just stop and tell his disciples like, hey, and by the way, you should be praying, right? No, instead they're like, just teach us how you would pray. So the underlying conception was prayer was always happening. But they wanted to learn, how do we do this better now with you, Jesus? And I think that we have to remember the culture and time that we have scripture from, that they were a people of story. There wasn't literacy and the Bible wasn't a thing. The select few knew the Torah and could read it. But even then, they had to memorize it. They heard the Torah through scripture, through story, through memorization. And so upon waking, they had prayers. Upon eating, they had prayer. Upon washing, they built prayer into the way of being a part of God's story as the Jewish people. So prayer was definitely not this add-on, but it was woven into the very culture that they were. And that's the same for us today. That's how we can lead our teens of, hey, prayer isn't this weird thing that we do as Christians, but it's actually this ancient rhythm in the life of the believer. So before we dive in again, like Karen already mentioned, the BS meter is high with teens, and I love that about them. But the Barna Group, if you don't follow a lot of their stuff, they do amazing studies and collect such good data. But 48% of teens say that they look at faith and think about faith just by observing the grown-ups in their lives, not the conversations they're having, not even like material you give them, just by watching you. 48% of teens say that is how they make decisions about faith. So they don't expect perfection or pomp and circumstance like some people believe, like, well, how do I entertain them. They actually don't want that. Gen Z is one of the most open generations, which on the one hand is great because they're willing to hear you out. But the flip side of what we're combating against is they're essentially weaving together this piecemeal faith of like, oh, I'm going to be a little bit Buddhist. I'm going to be a little bit of this. I'm going to be a little bit of that. But we have the beautiful gift through story and prayer and the ancient text that says, okay, this is actually nothing new. God's been doing this since day one, and here's where you get to be a part of it. But like I said, before we can call our teens to pray and grow their stories of faith and prayer, we need to do it first. And so I'm actually going to lead you through a prayer practice, put you to work a little bit. But this is something that I host trainings for churches with story makers, and I love that in all the fields we get really practical in what does this mean to be an embodied person of feeling and emotion, and how do I actually connect with this God that you're talking about? And so I'm going to lead you through a practice called breath prayer. You've maybe done it. You've probably even seen it on social media without knowing that's what you were looking at. So the world has actually adopted this very ancient prayer practice, and you may hear it as meditation, manifestation, all these things that we hear now that our teens are hearing. So again, teens already know about this practice. They're just calling it something different. And we have the beautiful opportunity to say, hey, that's actually nothing new. And when you connect that prayer now back to God, there's power in that. You're connecting to your life source, not the universe, not your astrology sign, right? But to God himself. So your teens will understand what you're talking about. So it's connecting them back in body, mind, and spirit to their creator. Breath is important, not just physically, but we also see breath playing a role through scripture, right? God breathed the breath of life into Adam. We also know scripture itself, 2 Timothy says, is God breathed. And even the word we see for spirit in the Hebrew and Greek is often this word for breath. So breath isn't just about the physical nourishment, but the spiritual. So this practice originated with the desert mothers and fathers that wanted to truly pray without ceasing, like 1 Thessalonians 5 says. So they found a way to do this, and they cultivated this thing called breath prayer. So they would take a small portion of scripture, and on the inhale, they would pray a piece of it, and then on the exhale, they would finish. So maybe you've seen this on social media, right? Like, inhale this statement. Exhale this, right? I've seen it many a times. But again, they didn't have the books and resources like we do now, so they connected the story of God through an embodied experience. So praying deep isn't just something maybe your mom would tell you to do if you were upset, although that was totally my mom, like, Brittany, take a deep breath and just count to 10. Because it's also scientific, right? Even science is now pulling right from God's story and taking credit from it of like, hey, breathing calms down your whole body and can rewire your brain. So we know, again, science is backing up what God's already established, and we get to teach our teens that. So today we're going to do this breath prayer. I'm going to have you close your eyes in a moment. Even Mel and Karen are going to do it too. So we are going to talk about this mindfulness so that our brains are constantly being transformed by what we think, right? So we know that science even says anxiety begets anxiety, but we're going to teach our teens that like peace begets peace, especially when we connect to the source of peace, which is Christ. So breath prayer, you can use scripture or you can use phrases. Some examples that I personally use, God of peace on the inhale, you're going to exhale, bring me peace. Or God of truth, guide my thoughts. Good shepherd, give me rest. King of kings, rule my heart. You get the idea. You can mix and match and choose your own adventure. So it's great. So we're going to be taking some deep breaths. We're going to focus on our breathing, clearing our mind, and repeating the same phrase over and over. And so today I'm actually going to just speak out a phrase so you can just close your eyes. So go ahead, close your eyes. I'm even going to close my eyes too. We're going to do it together. Close your eyes, get comfortable in your chair. We're not in a rush, so don't be like, how long is she going to make me do this for? It's not going to be that long, I promise. But I want you to actually first experience it for yourself, so then you have now this shared story to take to your teens. So as you breathe, just start slowly and steadily inhaling and exhaling, and you can just keep listening. And we're just going to continue. And as you go about this practice, you can like I said, choose a scripture that you love or a phrase. But I love this because you can do it anywhere. That, hey, as your teen rides the subway, they can do this. As your teen's taking a test and they're anxious, they can do this. I think we need to be people that are better about embodying the story of God and not just having this intellectual knowledge of God. So today, our phrase is going to be God of peace on the inhale, calm my spirit. So just keep breathing, get comfortable in your seat. If your brain feels a little distracted, that's okay. Just keep coming back to your breath. And we'll just do this a couple of times. All right, so inhale, God of peace, calm my spirit. 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 So the longer you do this, the more your body is at rest. Science says it takes only 10 deep breaths to reset your nervous system. So even as you're sitting, you can feel yourself kind of melt a little bit. And how much greater do our teens, who are labeled the most anxious generation, need to know practical ways of like, wow, God didn't just design my body to feel all the feels. He's also designed me to experience peace and calm and rest in his presence, that I don't have to be this tornado twirling about my day, but I can sit wherever I'm at and connect to the source of peace, right? Like Mel already said, the peace that surpasses their understanding, right? Because it is a mysterious thing, this God that we serve. We will never fully understand the depths of his goodness, but we have a chance that our teens would get a taste of it. And so I love breath prayer. I have lots of prayer practices that I love. So if you want to know more, just come find me. But now I will turn it back to Mel for questions and response, that now that we're all nice and calm.
Yeah, thanks, Brittany. Ooh, that was amazing.
Thanks, guys. I'm ready for a nap. Perfect. Well, yeah, as Brittany mentioned, we're dealing with the most anxious labeled, you think about storied life, and Gen Z and Alpha are being labeled as the most anxious and depressed generation of all time. And that's a heavy burden to carry, and that's a heavy burden for us parents and grownups to carry alongside them. And so it's just, it's important for us to stay rooted in our own hope as we walk alongside them and be able to say, like, to assess and confess. We talk a lot about this in Storymaker World, like to take a beat and to recognize our own anxiety as grownups and our own fears as grownups, and to be able to assess what that is and confess it and to turn it over to the one who is totally carrying our teens into the next phase of their lives. And they're just storying themselves at this moment, right? And so we want to walk alongside them and help them and guide them as they're storying. And so much of them, they're troubled with the idea that they're not going to be enough, that their story isn't going to be big enough. And so we can remind them that they, you know, despite where they think they should be going or who they should be, that God has already storied them, that there is a story and a pathway forward that's already been paved and that they are being carried. And when we embody and remind them of that truth, that is going to alleviate them in so many ways. A couple weeks ago, Jake and I and my kids, I have a 14 and a 16-year-old, we got together and we did this quick little practice together, and this might be fun for you guys to take away for youth groups or for your parent or for at home. We did this thing. It took 15 minutes. We each had 5 minutes, and this was a practice to help us see how our lives are intertwined and storied together. We each had 5 minutes. I put on a timer, and we illustrated ourselves, and then we had 5 minutes to illustrate an obstacle in front of us. And then we had 5 minutes to illustrate that obstacle being removed by God.
And so then we could have this conversation about where we were, how we saw ourselves, and we could all share our own anxieties, and they could see that we grown-ups have our anxieties and fears, and that we hope to be rescued and extricated from the troubles that we are being burdened by, and they were able to share where they are. I mean, 14-year-old Henry is living his dream because he only drew one picture, and he was like, I'm amazing, and it was really large, and it was like, oh, there's a lot going on there. Okay, the ego is, you know, in a good and healthy space. But it's those kinds of things. It's like praying together and recognizing that we are all on a journey and path together and that God is carrying us all through. And we need those reminders. So as you read Anxious Degeneration or you're reading, Bad Therapy or all of this data and information is coming at us about this next generation, remember and hold fast to the truth that God has been the God of the people and from creation from the beginning and will see us all the way through. So whether our kids are troubled with the digital age now, God is at work in those spaces and he is going to continue to move and carry them through, and his promises are worth hanging on to, and he, most importantly, is hanging on to us. So that's our little presentation, but we wanted to give you guys a chance for Q&A because I know that lots of folks have lots of questions about what's going on with Gen Z, and we read a lot of information, so yeah. Does anybody have any questions? We'll give it a shot. Yeah.
I've got kind of two parallel questions. I don't know if you want to answer them.
Separately. Yeah, well, let's give it a go.
But so two kind of recurring problems that I've seen with younger folks is that, not just teens, but definitely teens, gaps in like Bible and church 101, like gaps in knowledge that
yes.
Even folks who have gone to church their entire life mm-hmm. somehow or other slipped through the cracks, didn't learn basic things. And it's like when they get to confirmation age, it's like there's assumptions that they know things they don't know, and then we're stuck playing catch up while trying also to do all of these things.
Yeah.
Manage that. And then the other question has to do with how do I phrase this? There's also kind of, and this kind of runs in tandem with, there is a crisis in English literacy in America, is that, kids are losing the ability to understand and appreciate literary language and like poetry and metaphors and stuff that the Bible becomes incomprehensible if you don't understand. And that has been a barrier I've encountered. Sometimes even like really basic stuff that I wouldn't have expected people would stumble on become stumbling blocks because they don't literally understand what's going on.
Yeah. So, well, partly what's happening is millennials are the least biblically literate generation. And so then that means that their kids aren't as literate in the Bible. And so, yeah, we are hearing that you can't read Dickens or Shakespeare really well if you don't have biblical understanding because there's so many references that happen in that space. And so one of the things that we're doing in Storymakers is that we've built a volume of of Bible stories so that kids cycle through and they're beginning to build that literacy back up. It's an important thing we know, but we know that it needs to come maybe through a different avenue than it has in the past, because I think so much youth and family culture has been around entertainment, and then so much curriculum isn't synthesized into story. So you're just sort of memorizing bits and pieces, but they don't all interconnect to each other. And so you have kids who know a handful of things, but don't understand how they all intertwine together. They don't know that the New and the Old Testament are really connected to each other. So it's just, it's the landscape in which we all live. And so, by Storymakers, I don't know.
Great point.
Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah.
So we're talking about Gen Z in 1996 to 2007, and then after that is
Alpha.
Alpha. So that's, I was born in 96.
You're Gen Z.
So we're talking about 28-year-olds to 17-year-olds.
Yep.
And then my youth group is all
Alpha.
Gen Alpha. Yeah. Do you guys really, I mean, I'm not sure, do you see much of a difference in Gen Z to Alpha? I mean, I'm on the edge.
Yeah.
I distinctly remember 9/11, but I've also never said doggo unironically.
Yeah, yeah.
Or adulting.
Yeah, yeah.
So, do you think there's much of a difference, or is it worth really kind of changing our approach with younger kids?
I think that there's a lot of overlap between the two, especially since they're so close right now. One of the things that they're both, I mean, they both were dealt with COVID, so that was one thing that overlaps. They're an interesting generation because I would guess every generation rejects who's in front of them, and so they are like the no BS thing. They're not interested in things being, you know, facade. They want clarity. They're not opposed to faith, but they don't need to know what you're selling them so that they know, like, I want to buy into this or I don't. So it's like, what do you believe and why do you believe it? They're super open to the rhythms of church life because they need the rhythms for themselves because their nervous systems are so out of whack because of the overstimulation. So those two things are happening for Alpha and they're happening for Gen Z. So I think the approach can be very similar in many ways. I think that they are going to be like more honest and poignant than maybe generations in the past. For instance, they all love that new app, Be Real, so that there's like, this is really honest. This is how I really look. Yeah. So, you know, I think it's a bit of that. And my kids are going analog in some ways because it's so retro and fun. Like they were like, I want to get this thing. And it's like, it plays this thing called a tape. And and you know, and so like Sophia got a Walkman, Britney Spears tape, for Christmas. You know, so it's just I don't know. You're just on an adventure with them, and you're getting curious, and you're staying tuned. And I think that's the most important thing. It's like staying attuned, being curious, meeting them where they are, and just being real in who you are. I mean, Jake, my husband, is really thriving in the teen space because he is a super real person. He can only be who he is. There's no facade about him. And so they're just, it's an amazing connection that's just happening because I think it's where they are too. So, yeah, and there's a comfortability there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody? I mean, I think one way that they're very practical and they're like honest in a way that maybe we, you know, I'm more of like a dreamer imagination, like, ooh, wouldn't it be amazing if it were like this? And I think that Gen Z and Alpha tend to be more like realists and just like, well, this is what it is. And so I think that that's, you know, very fruitful. Do you guys have any other takeaways on that?
Yeah, I would say you can give them all the bad stuff too, but they are very good at unifying. They are very good at unity. If you think of Gen Z especially, when everything was happening in our world, they took to social media and made change. Like, they don't just sit around, like Mel said, and think, wouldn't it be great if these things happened? Whether you agree with their agendas or not, they got it done. And I think that's a beautiful gift that they have that we can then nurture within a church of like, yeah, we can unify and be together. And with that, I think even their openness is such a gift. Where I would say, like, as a millennial, we were the ones, like, within the church world that we were like, burn it to the ground, nothing is good. Where now they're swinging back and saying, like, I'm at least willing to hear people with different perspectives. And again, there's pros and cons to that, but it's such a good thing when it comes to how we can approach them from church and faith, is that they are very open, but again, they want to know what, like, well, what do you actually believe?
Yeah.
Like, don't just tell me in theory this is what it means to be a Christian. Like, what do you, as a Christian, believe? Like, be personal. And I think their openness and their unifying spirit is really powerful.
Yeah, I think they have such a heart for the the marginalized, the unseen, and the oppressed, and they are a social justice generation.
Yep.
And I think that's a superpower, and it's beautiful, and it needs conversation, you know, it needs guidance from mentors and learning history and just understanding so many things, but they're ready to go into the fight for the people that are weaker or on the sidelines. And I haven't, you know, I think that's a special thing about their generation. I think another interesting thing is that culture, we've been in postmodernism and we're swinging now into metamodernism, and it's a fun rabbit trail to go down, but it's kind of like, oh wow, we see all the bad things, all the heavy things in this world. What can we do about it? But you kind of hope despite yourself, or you find humor despite like the tragedy. And a lot of our movies and music and entertainment is starting to embrace this idea that like, oh, it's all terrible, but like I still want to have a good life. And so I think they're incredibly resilient, and they are ready. They do want hope. We are still, it's the human design, right? Like they still want these stories of hope and inspiration. And they're going to have to find that despite, like, we're not going to be able to shelter them from the bad because they have the access like we never did. But, yeah, I think knowing, like, you know, in spite of all of this, there's still the story. In spite of all of this, there's still hope, and God is still real in every generation. And so I think that's something interesting and where they kind of gain a strength and a resilience despite the times.
Yeah, they don't seem to be as threatened by difference in the way that previous generations are threatened by difference. There's just a comfortability with like, oh, yeah, but you're Muslim and I'm a Christian, and okay, well, that's interesting, you know. So it's not, they're not thwarted, you know, in a way that other generations I think have been before. So that's cool.
Also, like millennials, we were so jaded by the church, and then we wanted to like, and many of us wanted to leave the faith, but I think, you know, Gen Z and Alpha may not have the Bible 101 down quite as good, but they're also kind of a blank slate, or they're ready for a new experience of faith, and they haven't been jaded by many bad experiences and traumas in the same way previous generations were. So it could, you know, it could be a pro, like it could be a positive thing that we could cling to.
Yeah. Church rhythms, I think, just be straight and be who you are, and you know, it's like there's a lot of opportunity for buy-in, I think, in the traditions and history of the church. So, anybody else before we wrap? Yeah.
Super practical question.
Yeah.
Zines, what age group is that really in target?
13 to all the way to 18. We have teacher guides, and obviously the answers will be different according to their age of development, but essentially, the way the cadence of every chapter works is like you're exposing them to a thought and an idea, a truth. So the first zine is the faith guide, which is all about the Apostles' Creed. What do I believe and why do I believe it? The second one is the identity issue. To whom do I belong? It's all wrapped around the Lord's Prayer, claimed, adopted. And then the latest is all the feels, and it's tethered in signs of grace. So the promises of God are real. So, but the way that we engage them is like through a thought and a question. We toss at them first. Then there's visual processing between them and questions between them. And then we land on an idea. I mean, we're like, well, this is real. This is who Jesus is. This is who the Holy Spirit is. You know, there's something for them to like hang on to. It's not just sort of like, I hope they wander into the faith somehow. Like that's not going to happen. So, but we want to build them, and we're helping them build towards that information, so then they can process the information, and it becomes their own on their own. Yeah. So, yeah.
What range of age would you say is appropriate to use this scene with?
Yeah, I would say 13 to 18, for sure. Yeah.
So you're doing one on the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed. Any chance you're going to do the Ten Commandments?
We just did. It's the relationships issue.
In the works now.
Yeah.
Maybe speaking for some other Lutherans around here. Sort of useful for us.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, we've got a plan. It's, you know, signs of grace, Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Rules. Yeah.
Next year, Mockingbird, you'll be able to get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, the relationship issue is going to be, I think, that's really an important one, because we want them to know how they relate, how God relates to them, and how they relate to God and how they relate to their neighbors and how they relate to the inner self and how they relate to the world and how the world relates back to them. So we want to paint a picture of that, you know, what it means not to be alone in this world. So anybody else? Well, great. Thank you guys so much for coming to our session. We are obsessed with Gen Z and Alpha. So, you know, ping us along the way on your, you know, pathways and learnings about Gen Z and how you want to connect with them. Brittany is always hosting trainings. So if you want to book a training with her, go on over and do that. And Karen is always thinking about visual language and how we can connect. And so you can definitely ping her as we sort of we think about ways, you know, if you're thinking about a way like, oh, would this be connected? You know, is this a good idea? You know, we're happy to be in dialogue as you sort of navigate that whole adventure. So, all right. Oh, yeah.
These little postcards we got in, are those just examples of things? Yes, these are
great examples of the visual language that they're in the zines. When you buy a zine and when you get a subscription, you get these poster kit or poster not posters
postcards
postcard packs, and then you get all sorts of things. But these are great ways just to spark conversation and the imagination. And so yeah, happy collaging. All right, guys, thanks so much. Yeah.